Psalm 65, verse 1 is, no, actually verse 5 is where we begin. And Lord, we ask your blessing on your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, actually, let's begin reading in verse 1 of Psalm 65. We already studied verses 1 through 4, but let's do it. It says in verse 1, "Praise is due to thee, O God, in Zion, and to thee shall vows be performed. O thou who hearest prayer, to thee shall all flesh come on account of sins. When our transgressions prevail over us, thou dost forgive them. Blessed is he whom thou dost choose and bring near to dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple." Now verse 5, "By dread deeds thou dost answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation, who art the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas." God is the only hope of all mankind throughout the world. We wouldn't be around if it wasn't for God. We never would have been made, and we never would have been kept alive apart from him. Everyone may not be aware of it, but everyone is dependent on God. He is the one who exerts the 40 pounds of pressure or so that keeps the atoms that make up our bodies and everything else, keeps them from exploding into nothingness. We are truly dependent on God. Everyone is. Verse 6, "Who by thy strength has established the mountains, being girded with might, like a child who sticks a peg in a hole." God sticks the mountains on the earth, and then he keeps them from being moved by anything, by floods or earthquakes or anything else. It is God who holds the Rocky Mountains in place. He is that big. 7, "Who does still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples." God is the one who calms storms. We can barely predict storms, but God can control them. And we saw Jesus do this when the storm was raging and the boat he and his apostles were in was about to go down. Jesus calmed everything, the wind, the waves, the rain. He calmed it all down by simply commanding it to be calm. And since that ability is attributed to God here in verse 7, we have further proof that Jesus has to be God. Verse 8, "So that those who dwell at earth's farthest bounds are afraid at thy signs. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to shout for joy." Jesus did signs in Israel, but God's signs are seen everywhere across the whole world. Little reminders that he is there and he is needed. When there is an earthquake, a tornado, people tremble before God. When the towers fell in New York, people who had not prayed for a long time prayed. There is a God. It's just that sinful man sometimes loses sight of him and loses sight of their need for him. But when something happens, now it's a sign that they need God. Verse 9, "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it. The river of God is full of water. Thou providest their grain, for so thou hast prepared it. Soil is made rich by rain, which produces produce to enjoy, and a living for the farmers and the wholesalers and the retailers who distribute it." But it all begins with God, who visits earth and waters whatever needs to be watered. 10, "Thou waterest its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth." God waters the earth. He waters the earth to soften those hard, dry clods of dirt and that enables the farmer's seed to sprout. It is all God just caring for his planet and for all of us who happen to live here. 11. Thou crownest the year with thy bounty. The tracks of thy chariot drip with fatness, talking about God's generosity. And the crowning jewel of his generosity is the bountiful crops. Nothing displays God's generosity more than all the food that he causes to grow. Fruits, vegetables, grains, flowers, they are all gifts to us from our generous God. 12. The pastures of the wilderness drip. The hills gird themselves with joy. God puts beauty and bounty even where no man will ever see it. Even in the wilderness where no one but God and the animals will see it. God likes beauty. He likes nice things because they are beauty and because they are nice things. So if nobody else will see them, he will. 13. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. And flocks and cattle and grain, they are all gifts to us from God. And all those natural blessings, in a sense, are the voice of nature praising our Creator. Psalm 66, verse 1. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. All the earth should sing to the Lord. God is worthy to be praised by all people. Every country in the world has been given good things by God and is therefore obliged to praise Him. Verse 3. Say to God, how terrible are thy deeds. Terrible means wonderful. It means amazing. If we think for a few minutes on what God has made, just take the time, slow down, and start looking around. Start examining the things that God has made, how He designed them, how He made them. You think about that for a while, you'll be amazed, in awe of Him. Verse 3, last part of it, so great is thy power that thy enemies cringe before thee. Well, they are not doing that now. Not all of them, but someday they will. The enemies of God who refuse to honor their Creator in life will be compelled against their will to fall before Him in death. Every knee will bow before Christ. The unsaved will bow before they are cast into hell. 4. All the earth worships thee. They sing praises to thee, sing praises to thy name. God will not lose the battle with evil. All the earth will praise Him. Good will prevail, and so will good people. People who know and appreciate God are going to one day populate the earth. And in that day, the theme of people's songs, and there will be a lot of music, and the theme will be the character and works of God, and it will be good music, enjoyable music. 5. Come and see what God has done. He is terrible in His deeds among men. There's that word terrible again. It just means glorious, fantastic. But notice, man is so backwards because of sin that he has to be told to come and see what God has done. He has to be pulled away from worldly concerns and drawn by God's Spirit and His Word to pay attention to God and to appreciate all that the Lord has done. He has to be compelled to do that, or he doesn't take the time to do that on his own. 6. He turned the sea into dry land. Men passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. And that's, of course, talking about Israel and how God parted the Red Sea. Nothing hinders God or stops Him from doing what He says He will do for His people. Let's face it, Anyone who can split a sea so that an entire nation can cross is God, and he is worthy of praise. 7. There did we rejoice in him, did Israel, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. God watches the movement of everyone in every nation. That is every country in the whole world, the communist countries, the Muslim countries, the free countries. God watches the movement of everyone in every nation. Remember how he watched Egypt, and he knew all their ways and how they were treating his people. Well, God's eyes have not dimmed. He watches us all. And his power has not decreased either. He rules today, just as he ruled down in Egypt. Verse 8, bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Bless our God, O peoples. No one can praise God like those who know him through Jesus Christ. To the world, he is God. To the Christian, he is my God, the one that I know, the one who has done so much for me. Verse 9, who has kept us among the living. God has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. If you're hearing my voice, it is because God has kept you among the living. God holds our lives in his hands. No one dies without God's permission. We are here for as long as he keeps us among the living. 10. For thou, O God, hast tested us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. In other words, God, you have purified us like a person purifies silver. That is with fire. And that'll do it. Trouble is like a fire. It burns the junk off of man's spirit. The furnace of affliction is the most effective sanctifier that there is apart from the Word of God. 11. Thou didst bring us into the net. Notice, thou, God, did bring us into the net. Thou didst lay affliction on our loins. When caught in a net of trouble, when caught in a net of affliction, it is good to remember that God himself has brought us to that net. If the trouble is due to our sin, be glad that the trouble will sanctify us. If the trouble is for righteousness' sake, then rejoice that we can share in the sufferings of Christ. 12. Thou didst let men ride over our heads. We went through fire, through water, yet thou hast brought us forth to a spacious place. And a spacious place speaks of abundance. It was a rough road for Israel, but the end result was good, according to the writer. The end result of that trouble was good. And it's the same with us Christians. James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you meet various trials. The reason? A promise from God. When it's over, he says you will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In other words, when it's over, the afflictions will make you more like God. If you belong to him. 13. I will come into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. A forgiven person is a grateful person. A forgiven person is a sensitive person. In other words, he understands how indebted he is to God for his great mercy. That's why the forgiven person looks for things to do to God or for God, and things, ways to give to God. For the person who has been forgiven, serving God is not a duty. It is not a burden. It is something that is looked on as a privilege. 14. That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. what was promised, or what is promised? God. What is promised God during hard times should be delivered as soon as the opportunity is there to do it. Verse 15, I will offer to thee burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. And he's talking about giving something good. He will not give some bony, sickly goat to God. He will give a well-fed, healthy animal. Something that's worth something. A godly person will give his best to the Lord. He will sacrifice. He will not give something that doesn't cost him anything. 16. Come in here, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. No one should think that talking about what God has done in them or for them is bragging. Don't be afraid to talk about what God has done. If people misunderstand and they think you're boasting, well, you can't help that. It is wrong to brag about ourselves. It is right to brag on God for what he has done in our lives. And we shouldn't hold back simply because some people might misunderstand and think that we are boasting. Make it clear. All glory belongs to God. Verse 17, I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. He cried to God in his prayer, but he also praised God. His prayer contained a request and a thank you. God hears our prayers right away. And he answers right away. Now, the answer is sometimes no. The answer is sometimes wait. But he answers right away. And since he answers right away, our prayer should also contain a thank you. Or we might forget to say thank you. 18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If we do not confess all known sin before we pray, God will not hear our prayers. Even if we are praying for good things, he will not hear our prayers. If there is something that you know you need to start doing, but you haven't been doing it, you better do it. Or God will not hear your prayers. If there's something that you're supposed to stop doing, you better do it. You better stop. Or God will not hear your prayers. I'm talking about things that you know are not right. You better make them right. God will not hear your prayers. If we don't confess all known sin and change our ways before we pray, he will not hear our prayers. We might be praying for wonderful things. He will not hear our prayers. 19. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Yeah. The love of sin is a barrier between man and God, but prayers are answered when they honor God, and prayers are answered because the person praying is spiritually clean. An answered prayer is a great reminder that God is good and that he wants to bless. 20. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. He is thanking God for not turning away when he was praying. And God will not turn his back on you, give you the cold shoulder when you pray, as long as your sins are confessed. He may not give you what you want, but he will always politely listen. Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. As sinners, none of us have any rights. Don't ever demand your rights, because as sinners, we have none. We have no legal claim to blessing. We have no legal claim to anything worth hoping for on our own. That's why before the writer asks for anything, he asks for God's mercy. 2. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving power among all nations. The biggest, most basic problem with many in the world today is that they do not know the Lord God. If more people knew God, less people would be acting godless or doing evil, especially in the name of God. 3. Let the peoples praise Thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise Thee, and they will too. In fact, in Hebrew, this is not a prayer, a request, it is a prophecy. What it literally says is all people will praise God, and they will. In the new earth, all the redeemed, and by the way, that's all who's going to be here, all the redeemed who know God and were saved by His Son will praise Him. Everyone who will be on this new earth will have that one big thing in common, and it's part of the reason this is going to be a fantastic place to be. 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou dost judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. When a person knows they are right with God through Christ, and they know how God wants them to behave, and they are doing it, they will have joy. There's going to be joy there. And it works the same way with countries. The only way there can be true harmony and gladness within a nation is if Christ is recognized as king in that nation. Verse 5. Let the peoples praise Thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise Thee. Someone says, well, wait a minute. He just prayed that a couple of seconds ago. He did. And he prayed it again. There's repetitive prayer again. And that's okay, because Jesus said you shouldn't use vain repetition in your prayer. Emphasis on vain. And this is not vain. This is not empty. It comes from his heart. He cares about God. He'll pray it 100 times. Probably did thousands of times to himself. 6. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. The earth has yielded its increase. God has blessed us. What has been cursed by sin can only be a blessing by God's grace. The ground was cursed because of Adam's sin. Remember that from back in Genesis? So when the ground produces crops, God must be thanked, because it is only through His grace that we are able to get good from soil that has been cursed because of sin. 7. God has blessed us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. God has blessed us. He prayed for blessing in verse 1. He thanks God for giving it here in verse 7. He is grateful to God. You know, God may give us a whooping if we are His children. He does discipline us when we go astray at all. But if we are His through Jesus Christ, it is a sure bet that He has blessed us. And He will bless us. And next time we'll pick up our study in Psalm 68. Until then, so long, everyone.